and welcome to episode 71 of the Awesome Comics Podcast, the show where a group of indie creators sit around and talk about the world of comics until we either learn something or someone loses an eye. I'm Vince Hunt, creator of the comic series The Red Mouse from Mars, and this week I'm joined by the creator of the webcomic Vanguard, Dan Butcher.
Hello.
And returning from his long walk is writer, Down the Tube contributor, and One Man ABBA tribute act, it's Tony Esmond.
It was good luck.
Oh, you're breaking up.
Oh, fuck.
Do you know what? Take a couple of seconds and then just act like that bit didn't happen. Just okay. Introduce yourself again. Say hello again.
Is it working now?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. No, it was good last week, wasn't it? Dobes was very good.
Yeah, it was really good.
Yes.
Yeah, especially when he said anal.
Our substitute, Tony, you know, he got in the important points. He got the filthy laugh in. He said the word anal.
Very musical, isn't he,
yeah.
Dobes?
Yeah.
Very musical.
Yeah.
I like that.
You like musicals, dear Dan? You don't like
not
Disney.
Really.
You don't like Disney musicals, do you?
That's been thrown in my face.
Oh,
I'm absolutely chomping at the bit to see you dressed as Frankenfurter at Halloween.
I'm absolutely chomping at the bit to fucking see Emma Watson and that dude out of Drive do fucking live action Beauty and the Beast.
What?
I don't think exactly.
Oh my god!
God. Yeah.
Who the fuck comes up with this shit? It's
money, men.
Look, about the money.
I'm not going to say anything. I'm a Disney fan.
Yeah, we were talking about the thing.
I feel like I'll get bundled on. If I
We were talking about the thing the last episode, and I was reading up on the new one, and I'm not a fan of it, but
no.
They've done all these practical special effects like the first one, and some fucking dickhead studio guy said, no, put all CG over the top.
Yeah.
Right.
Oh, God, yeah. Mental.
Alex Martin hasn't seen the thing.
What?
I know.
Oh, some people.
I know. He just got an hour of us all saying film names at him and him saying, I haven't seen that. And Matt Harrow went a bit mental.
Yeah.
Like physically attacking him.
I mean, I'm not a judgmental person, but...
You are.
A little bit. No. But
here comes a judgment.
But yeah. But you know when you do have like that little moment when you're just reading off a list of films. Oh, have you seen Die Hard? No. Pardon? You haven't seen Die Hard? You know, that's when I have that sort of double take, you're less of a human being kind of.
Yeah, I was talking and they said they hadn't heard of John Carpenter. And I was like, I'm not going to turn around. I don't want to know who that person is because they're scum.
You're absolutely right, Dan.
Yeah.
Ghosts of Mars.
Oh.
It's a quality film.
I like Ghosts of Mars.
Yeah.
It's a quality film. We didn't say what level of quality it was, though.
Yeah,
So bitter.
Any B movie schlock is kind of
Statham's in it and Ice Cube. How is it not bad?
Statham's
still got a bit of hair in it on that one.
I like a bit of hair on a Statham.
Yeah. On a Statham.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's that Guy Ritchie one that doesn't end properly? That he's like a gambler in it.
Revolver.
He's got sort of long hair and all that in it.
I never saw that one.
Yeah.
I tell you what, we did all see though. Was
segue.
Marvel Studios Doctor Strange, didn't we?
Yeah,
we did. We have all seen it.
We've all seen it, and
no spoilers.
Absolutely no spoilers.
Okay.
Yeah.
Everyone is a ghost, and it's all a dream.
And I think we may have watched the porn parody. Because I was slightly aroused in it.
So what were your thoughts on it, Tony?
Loved it, mate. Yeah. My standout performance in it is going to be a bit strange, but it was Tilda Swinton. I thought she absolutely killed in it.
I said that. I thought she was fantastic.
Tilda Swinton is an actress who I think is, even if the film she's in, you're not a big fan of, she's always good. She's consistently good in everything she's in. And when she turned up in it, she was just amazing in this.
Something about her that's very sort of striking and individual and, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, very good in it. And I like the fact she got really excited about it and said she wants a spin-off movie of her own, didn't she? She's been saying in interviews and stuff. I'd watch that.
Everyone in the film, like, really took it seriously and had at the same time had fun with it. No one looked down on the subject matter, which you can get with some actors. And it came across in the film. I thought everyone
She kind of had a sense of, when she's been the tutor and the teacher, very kind of like compassionate. There's also like an undercut of like a real dark edge to the character, which plays into the story. Mm. And I just thought she was just gave the film such a grounding. It really, such a stand-up performance. I thought it was just fantastic.
I don't want to spoil anything, but at one point someone refers to her as a Celt. And I thought, that's interesting.
Yeah.
You know. Let's open the door for a slang movie. Come on, let's have it.
But this took a massive shit over all those people who were given her grief before. And it's like, make your judgment when the film comes out. Don't kind of...
That's interesting. Since the film's come... Well, obviously over here, I haven't really heard much of that again.
None of it.
Yeah, you haven't heard anything of it. Because it's come out and it's actually been good on its own merits, which I think...
Has it been out in America yet? Or did we get it a week early? Or
as we speak now... It would have just been released in America.
So, oh, wow. Yeah. Okay.
They got it November the 4th? Was it 2nd?
Okay.
Okay. Yeah.
We're on like the Frank Cho Milo Manara outrage at the moment, and that's the flavour of the outrage week.
Yeah, outrage week. Yeah. Because I've been away, as you all know, with work all week, and I got The Walking Dead ruined for me. Someone actually changed their profile picture to a spoiler. What is up with some people?
Did you block them? Did you just
unfriended them? Yeah.
Good.
I didn't really know them anyway, to be fair. But
they did that on the Mail. I don't read that, but my lovely wife does for some reason. But they put like Walking Dead
just throw her under the bus.
Yeah. It's like Walking Dead spoilers, and then pictures of the two actors. You're like, okay, thanks. Oh. But. Don't need to be Sherlock Holmes to kind of work that one out.
See, someone put on Twitter today something about, wouldn't it be great when Doctor Strange finally meets Iron Man? They talk about being Sherlock Holmes. And I went, no, it wouldn't be really great.
That'd be awful.
Yeah. I know you're trying to be clever on Twitter. No, it wouldn't be good.
No.
You know, why don't they talk about how they both played Hamlet or fucking whatever? I don't care.
I wish they'd have. I know they were trying to distance Cumberbatch from the kind of the Sherlock role, but I would love to have seen Strange with an English accent. I would have preferred it.
He looks very different, doesn't he?
Yeah,
I know he's. You know, obviously he's made up to dark hair and sort of.
Yeah, I thought he looked spot on. You know, there were moments of the film that looked like comic panels.
Yeah, there were.
Yeah.
I was going to say, I'm not a massive Strange fan, and I've when they said about magic, I was a bit kind of, oh God, how's this going to work out? But I couldn't have been more impressed with the film. I thought it was really good.
Yeah.
One of Marvel's best, in my opinion.
I thought the extra bit, which we won't ruin, looked a bit like a film student had filmed it, and it was like, oh, that's a funny joke. You know what I'm talking about, don't you?
Yeah.
Yeah. I did like both of the... At the ending scenes, you know, normally one of them I can just give or take, but I thought they're quite good.
I liked one of them in particular. I thought, oh, that's nice.
Yeah.
You know, I guess we can't talk too much about it, but some of the stuff in it, being a non kind of Doctor Strange fan, how canon is a lot of that?
Bits of it is, bits of it isn't. Yeah. Okay. To be fair. Yeah. Yeah. Mm. I think we'll sort of say that. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
The only thing, isn't really a spoiler really, but the only thing that I thought was something that maybe, I know it's canon, probably canon to the comics, but they might have changed, was just Sling Ring. I thought that...
I didn't like that. I don't think that is canon, is it? I can't remember that.
I've never seen anything like that.
No.
Yeah.
That's a bit of an easy option.
That's no spoiler, by the way, folks. That's like a tool, one of the many tools that he uses in the film.
It's a bit of a plot device, isn't it?
Yeah.
I can understand why they do it for the story, because otherwise the characters can kind of... We can't go too much into spoilers here, but it essentially limits the characters doing something. And if they could do that, it could possibly undermine certain story elements. Mm. So I can understand why they do it.
That bloke from... Green Street 3's in it as well. He's very good, isn't he?
Scott Adkins. Yeah. He's done all right for himself, hasn't he?
Yeah. He's in
many. I don't know who you gave a few quid to at Bleeding Cool, but Bleeding Cool ran an article about a year ago saying he should be the next Batman. I was thinking, is this the same fucking geezer who's in Green Street 3?
I wish people wouldn't say stuff like that. You know, I don't... Anyway.
Yeah.
He is cool, though, and he's very good in the film.
They always kind of find these people, these guys, when they're sort of like in their late 30s, 40s, 50s.
Yes, so you should have kind of sort of martial arts scene. Yeah.
But we'll try and get them when they're like they're 25 odd and they're kind of coming up to their peak.
Yeah.
As opposed to when they're, well, you know, not being ageist there.
Yeah, I mean, it's not like, I mean, Jackie have. Chan's about 68 or something, isn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah, but he's a cyborg though, isn't he?
Yeah, I think he is.
Yeah. So there you go. We just had to get out of our systems. We all loved Doctor Strange.
There you go. No spoilers.
I'm going to go see it again. I saw it in 3D. It's one rare film that people ask me, is it worth seeing in 3D?
Now, I was going to say that.
Yeah, most people sort of dispense with 3D. I myself, I'm not a fan of 3D, but I did actually see it in that format purely because it was the only time that I could actually see it on the day I wanted to see it. And it is good. It is good. I would say if you're going to see it in a 3D cinema like an IMAX or an X Plus or something where they don't dull the screen, like the colours aren't muted.
Oh, okay.
I think if you saw it in a generic sort of cinema in 3D, it wouldn't work as well. You need to be able to see the bright colours and just take it all in.
There's some things I like in 3D. I like the real world in 3D.
Well, I like
walking around in the world. I like that in 3D.
Yeah, that's nice. That's nice. Yeah. Have you ever moved into the fourth dimension, Tony?
Yeah, occasionally, you know, just when it's late at night and watching Men and Motors, you know.
Yeah.
Little map of Africa on the couch next to me.
You got a map of Africa?
You never heard that phrase before?
No.
I'll explain later.
Okay.
UrbanDictionary.com.
They should fucking sponsor us at the moment.
Tony is our ancient one of.
That's a bit harsh, Dan. Talk about he's being ageist again.
I'm only 38.
Are you a Celt, Tony?
Yeah. I suppose I'm half Celt, aren't I? And look, I own a kilt.
You're a bit of everything, aren't you? You like you're like a black pudding.
I'm like a Highlander.
Or a pepperami.
Yeah, maybe a bit between the two.
Yeah. A Highlander pepperami. Yes.
Oh, the map of Africa. Okay.
I've never looked it up on Urban Dictionary. I've always just known it as a bit of a phrase.
Yeah, map of Africa, the wet spot in the bed after a heavy dose of knocking boots, usually resembles the outline of some geographical entity. when I got through ploughing Betty, I made her sleep in the map of Africa.
Oh, you need to read more things like that out loud, Dan, because that is just...
I'd love you to read out some Urban Dictionary once a week.
Yeah.
Or you come up with a thing and I'll, I'll Google it.
Yeah. Yeah. That is dangerous territory, Dan Butcher.
We've all got jobs, we don't get sacked.
Yeah.
Now, last week, me and Sean, we talked briefly about Nottingham Comic Con 2016, but Tony, you were there as well. So give us your little opinion and rundown on it.
Well, I went the night before, so I was sort of fairly fresh in the morning, so I got there quite early. My highlight probably of the day was we had the mighty laming between us, didn't we?
Yeah.
And sitting there, we were both at our table, we were setting up, and a little old lady wandered in, and she said to Mark Laming, she said, "Excuse me, young man." And he went, "Yes." And it was even before opening, so I don't know how the lady had got in there. She said, "Excuse me, young man, where's the ATM?" At which point, Laming looked at me, arse to mouth. And then he sent the lady off upstairs. That was probably my highlight of it.
Do you see, folks, what Mark Laming had to put up with?
Part of that story is true. That is all I will say. Part of it is not true.
Yeah. The old lady did exist. I will attest to that. Yeah.
Anyway, so I did that. So I got in quite early, and it was good, actually. Got a bit of back issue shopping. There was a back issue seller just sort of in front of me, really. I managed to buy some comics off him while he was having a sort of huge argument with his son. And then he left about 11 o'clock or something. No, about midday, I suppose. And he had this sort of huge argument, and then they left. Oh, that's a bit of a shame. I was going to go back and buy some more stuff off you.
What? But I got some stuff. The entire stall, they just packed up everything?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh.
Bit strange.
Hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. But I'd say... Go on, mate,
Big Barney and fucked off.
Yeah, they seem to have this sort of ongoing row while I was trying to buy stuff off them.
Yeah.
You know. You know when you make that face, as if everything's too loud because they're sort of shouting at each other? I made that face.
Yeah.
You always make that face.
I'm making it now.
Oh. Sexy.
Do you think everything is sexy to us? Everything that ever happened? I think you're right. Yeah.
Everything is sexy. The network...
What did I text you about earlier? Is when you sent me a bit of Cockney rhyming saying, and I said, that's quite sexy today, didn't I?
Yeah.
Yeah. Remember that?
Yeah. There you go.
We're
so easily pleased.
I know we are. Yeah. That's what happens. Yeah. Easily aroused.
That's true.
Yeah. So I had the Awesome Comics podcast table. I sort of sat on my own. People came up and I slapped their hands when they tried to pick flyers up. And nice. There were sort of roller skating, sort of sexy roller skating girls going round and round, weren't they?
Yeah.
And every time they came past Vince, he did one of those Joey, how you doings at them. That was quite good.
What I need to tell you about the statements that Tony Esmond makes is probably the only thing that was true is he was at Nottingham Comic Con. Everything else is just... No, there were roller girls. I think they had like boards telling you when the panels were on, weren't they?
Oh, yeah, though, that's clever. I like that.
Yeah.
You clearly weren't paying attention.
Were they holding something? I didn't see. And then, so I sort of sat there, but I only got about an hour sat there. And then Alex Martin, my pal who did the panels with me, who is, I like to refer to as a social hand grenade. Whenever you sit with him and he's a little smile comes on his face, you know he's going to say something that is just purely aimed to wind people up, which I think is why he's my friend, to be fair. So, and then I had to go and do the panels, and I just, the panels were really good this year. I have to, not down to me, but down to the guests and down to the venue. We got one of the lecture theatres, and Geek Force, who were doing all the recording and the sort of filming of them and stuff like that, were projecting who the guests were on the back wall. And it's really good. Yeah, really good. A couple of the sort of standout people. So Dave White is always good. He was on one of the panels. Dan White, Dan Berry and Rachel Smith were on the first one. And they were all brilliant. Rachel sort of broke the audience's heart by telling a story about why she loves comics and how a little girl bought a comic from her and then went away hugging it. And, you know, just brilliant stuff. Absolutely really good. And I know they all really enjoyed it because they've been asking Kev for a copy of the audio and whether we're going to put it out. So we're hoping to, aren't we?
Yes. Hopefully, yeah, hopefully watch this space. We'll announce if we get some audio.
We're chasing for it.
Hmm.
Yeah. And then Alex Led and I sort of did the audience questions for one from the mighty Chris Imber, Sally Jane Thompson, and probably the funniest man on the planet, Nick Prolix, who was like, we always ended each panel with a little fun question, you know? And this one was, what TV character would you turn into a comic? And he said he'd do Columbo, and he got a little round of applause from the audience. And he's since started drawing Columbo. Have you seen them yet?
No.
Yeah. Oh, so good. Yeah. Yeah, he's a sort of dry-witted character. Very good. And Imber and Sally were great. A really, really good panel. And then we did our usual. We were like a sort of attempt at comedy car crash, weren't we?
For our first sort of awesome podcast panel, it went okay, I think. I mean, at the time, it felt like I was in a car falling off a cliff. But
yeah, you used a wonderful phrase when you told me about that.
What
was that?
Like a slow motion car crash.
It started out sort of badly because we had a competition. If you said pork pie, you'd won a. I got a print from Mark, Black Panther print, and if you shouted pork pie out, you'd win it. And it's the Gibster won it, didn't he? Good old Gibster, he won it. And then
before we even sat down.
Yeah, and then we sort of did an introduction, and then it all sort of going a bit weird, and we didn't know what we were saying, and then we sort of ranted, and then I said fuck twice accidentally in a sort of family-friendly podcast.
Which was hilarious, folks, because Tony was the one telling us to watch our language.
Yeah. Just watch your fucking language.
Yeah, and I think that kind of broke the ice, and from there on it went okay, I think.
Yeah.
And then at one point, Emily said something about, when she was talking about printing, she said size matters and you and I couldn't hold it together. And that went okay. Yeah. And then we had a panel with Roger Langridge, Mark, and Christian Wild Goose at the end there. And that also descended into sort of childish giggling when Mark mentioned Sausage Factory. Christian Wild Goose couldn't hold it together because he saw me laughing. And then Laura Wild Goose started shouting at me saying it's my fault. She wasn't really shouting, but you know what I mean? And yeah. So that was really fun, really good. And we got like big audiences. I was really pleased, much bigger than last year. I think they like that sort of, you can go in and have a rest in that room. You know, it's not like crazy busy and not crazy noisy and people are coming in. But, you know, people were sort of coming in as we were doing it, you know, which is nice.
Yeah.
So we see like a panel on how to do small press or how to make a comic. Was that one of them? Because I'd wonder if anyone's sort of been to one of those and thought, yeah, I'm going to give it a go. And
people were interested in small press, definitely. That was why the first three panels really were going. People were coming in. There was a couple of people in there were looking to make their own comic.
Yeah,
and came to all the panels.
Panel, which was called Why Small Press.
Yeah,
it was one of we sort of handled both sides of it. So you know, why would you choose small press if you wanted to make a comic? But when you have those sort of panels, the audience, not everyone wants to make a comic, do they? So then why would you choose, you know, to check out small press and independent publishers to read their stuff? You know, that was the way we handled it in a kind of like, I don't know, hail of gunfire.
But it was good. I mean, everyone enjoyed it. And we had people come up to us afterwards and say how much they enjoyed the panels.
And the Q&A section was really good, actually.
Yeah, some really good questions. Kev and Kel, we've got to give a shout out to them because they, I don't know how you felt, Vince, but I thought it was run really smoothly.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah,
there was no one with any irks or anything like that. And
no.
I think everyone pretty much did quite well. Paul Rainey, who's a friend of mine, who's been going to cons for years, even he said, oh, no, it's been all right, actually. He's quite pleased. Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah. I'll run through. Shall I run through a couple of the other names who were there?
Yeah.
So we mentioned Chris Imber, but Chris Jenkins was there and got to have a good chat with him. Dobes, obviously. Ricky Miller was also there with the Avery Hill. He's a good lad and a past guest. Jen Brown and her family were there. We didn't get to see enough of because she had the kids with her, so she couldn't come to the pub, but it's good to see Jen. I'm always a big fan. And her and I are in their anthology, Forest Tales. And she got to sign hers, and she said, oh, have you signed it yet? And I went, oh, no, not yet. And then she says, oh, I think Kev thinks you're going to draw a penis in it. And then Kev came over and said, can you sign this? But please don't do a speed cock in it. So I tried my best.
So you didn't do a speed cock, you just took your time and drew one.
Yeah, it's quite a detailed one. Yeah. all the improper people were there. I mean, we mentioned Chris and Laura, but also Sarah Dunkerton and Matt Gibbs were there, who I ended up trying to keep up with in the drinking stakes later on. Gab Mitchell was obviously there with Emily. Who else? Will Overton, actually. Got to have a chat with Will right at the last knockings there.
Oh, cool.
Good. Yeah, he's a good lad, he is.
Yeah.
Matt Harrow did quite well, and a pal of mine. Paul Cook, I finally got to talk to him. I didn't get a chance to see the Maddiest Boys. I don't think they came out for a drink later.
Yeah, I didn't get a chance. I got a chance to catch up with Michael Sandbrook, which was cool. I had a chat with him, but I didn't get a chance to catch up with the rest of the Maddiest.
Yeah. Okay. Daryl Thorpe, who's written into the pod, actually, and he's a good lad. A really interesting book, which I must talk about next week. It's in my sort of repile now. Chris from Dead Canary, he's always great company.
Yeah.
I made time to just go and lark about with him. And my copy of Last Driver arrived this week and he's gorgeous.
Oh, nice one.
They're just proper nice guys.
They really are. The Mighty Blore, Andy Blore was there. Got to have a chat with him. And he said he was coming to the pub. I don't know where he ended up. I don't know. John Layton, Sophie Traves, I think her name is, who were sort of a part of the Level 8 Comics thing, were both there. And obviously the mighty Gibster, who kept me company. He has told me that there was a slight incident with two quite large ladies getting stuck in the door of the sauna he was in. But I promised that I wouldn't tell anyone about it, so there you go.
The sauna?
Yeah, he was in a sauna.
Amazing.
Two quite large ladies came in, and one of them got stuck in the door, literally stuck in the door.
Yeah.
And he said he thought he might pass out because he was getting hot because he couldn't get out past her.
Amazing.
Well, if you mentioned it on this podcast, you literally mentioned it to me and Vince.
I think that's it.
Secret is safe.
James is the official sort of podcast illustrator, isn't he?
We were fucking laughing, and I can't say why, but we did have a laugh at someone's expense who was there that made me laugh quite a lot. And a bit of a shout out to Sarah Harris. Sarah Harris turned up, joined us in the pub afterwards. I think out drunk and outstayed everyone else. But just I think Sarah's got a bit of a minor operation this week. I hope she doesn't mind me saying. So get well soon.
Yes, get well soon.
Yeah, get well soon.
There you go.
Yeah.
Good, but all in all, cracking day. I it's the best one I've been to yet, I think, and I usually really enjoy Nottingham. It's one of the ones I really look forward to. They've got some big plans. We've already suggested a guest this morning. I was chatting to Kev this morning, and like I said, hopefully we'll get those panels next year. Make sure you go because it is really good. And I know the date, but I don't think they've announced it quite yet.
Oh.
Hmm. Hmm.
Well, yeah, me and Dan don't know, so Tony's going to have to tell us off air.
I'll tell you afterwards, yeah. Did you have a good time, Vince, or...?
I did indeed, yeah. It was a great day. It was a long day, very long day, because it was one of those bit of a further journey for me, and I decided to go up in the morning and then drive back in the evening. So yeah. It was full on, and it's another example of these conventions are work. They are hard work. You're doing it it's not going out for a jolly. Although it is at the same time, do you know what I mean? Because you're meeting all your friends and meeting creators and stuff. But it was great. I had good fun. Had some fantastic conversations with a lot of people, both creators and also visitors to the convention alike.
Yeah, some great punters as well, weren't there? Yeah,
about all kinds of things, whether it was just indie comics or just artwork and art styles. Someone actually bought a couple of my original pieces.
Did they?
Yeah. So that was quite cool. So yeah, it was a great day. Nottingham, I've enjoyed every single year of it. So that I've been there. So.
And as we speak, people will just be going, people just got home from Thought Bubble, weren't they?
Indeed.
Yes.
And none of us are there this year, which makes a bit of a first for a while, doesn't it?
Yes. Yeah. A lot of you out there are no doubt recovering from a crazy busy Thought Bubble weekend. So, and whether you were a visitor or an exhibitor, we hope you all had an amazing time, and it was a huge success for all. I know for a lot of people, it's a good laugh, they have a good party, and there's loads of interaction with creators. But beyond that, whether you meet new readers of your comic book or we hope you all did well at the weekend. Your new book, because everyone launches a book at Thought Bubble, don't they?
Yeah, they do. So, there's a lot of. I know the printing guy. He's I think he's. Hasn't he just finished all of his print jobs or something? I think I saw.
He was going. Yeah, he's been very busy. Very busy. Yeah.
And there's a lot of creators as we speak, because obviously we're recording this early, that are just receiving their books and stuff. So there's a lot of excited people, hugely excited people.
Well, I think off the top of my head, we've got Gab Mitchell's Santa Claus versus the Nazis.
Yeah.
Is that right? There's going to be Comic House issue 3 alongside with 1 and 2.
3 already, bloody hell.
Yeah. Already.
Sarah Millman's new book is finally out.
That looks fantastic. Why have we not seen this, Milmo? Where is your new book? I want to see it. Yeah.
We'll get her back on.
I saw the Facebook update. She is working bloody hard on that to get it done for the deadline. Yeah. So
is she? Congrats,
Sarah.
Yeah.
I love her work. Yeah. Really, really like Milmo's work.
Yeah. So a lot of you out there are no doubt recovering. You're broke. Or you just had a fantastic time. Hopefully you got loads of new books.
A bit sore.
Yes. That as well. Now let us know how the weekend went on our Facebook page. We love hearing from you guys. And Lord knows this week we have heard an awful lot.
God, yes. But anyway, we only put it out yesterday. We started. We only had 2 days, didn't we? Because we're recording early because we've all got a busy weekend, or I certainly have. Yeah. And we've had, I think, one of our polls was the most replies we've ever had, isn't it?
It is indeed. Mm. So, as we're coming to the end of this year's convention season, even though I don't think there's such a thing anymore, there's always a con going on somewhere now, isn't it? Every month of the year. It used to be you'd have a season, wouldn't you? There'd be a certain amount of months where you get your conventions, but now everyone's taking a chance to start a convention, it seems.
Is it the last big one, as it were?
Thought Bubbles.
Kind of.
Yeah, Thought Bubbles, I would say the last big one of the year, I guess.
What's the next one for us?
For us...
The 2018 thing in February, or...?
Yeah.
Yeah, is that before? I think, no, that's after True Believers, isn't it, I think?
Oh, is it?
I think we got True Believers and then the 2018 thing. Oh, right, so much for you people out there to look forward to. Yeah. So as you all recover from your year of convention going, we actually decided to spend a little time talking about probably the biggest part of any convention, and that's interaction. When you say it like that, it's an oddly specific thing, but when you think about it, it is the most important thing. Whether it's talking with your audience at your table or chatting with your favourite like creators as you wander around, like a show, just picking up books of all kinds. One thing's always for certain, and that's the interaction that you have at a show will have a definite effect on how successful you think that show or weekend has been. Like, full stop.
Yeah. And that's what it's about. It's about meeting the creators. Otherwise, for me, I wouldn't go to a convention because I could just sit at home and read comics, you know, or buy them at comic marts. But going to a convention is you go there either to have a table or meet people at tables, don't you?
Hopefully. Now, all of us here at the ACP, we're done for the year in terms of like convention going. So, like, if we're just going to start this off, like, how, in terms of like the year, how has like conventions and general sort of interaction been for you?
Yeah, I've not. I've only had, certainly this year, I've got to say, I've probably had 90% of my interactions with people at conventions have been brilliant.
Yeah.
There's been probably a couple of people who are pissing on my strawberries around it. mostly everyone I spoke to this year has been exactly how I would like them to be, you know, engaging, interesting, enthusiastic, you know. I've had a good year of it. I think it's definitely improving, put it that way.
Because without a doubt, I think out of all of us, you're the one who goes to the most.
Oh, hell yeah. Yeah.
I think it's from a geographical point of view, it's also easier for me because there's an awful lot of events and signings in London, aren't there? You know, so I sort of do put myself out to go to those things. But I mean, there's not that many places around where you two guys live, is there? You know, to go to. But
I wouldn't say so. Yeah, it's not.
I've got more on the South Coast. I'm going to try and do a bit more of them next year.
Yeah.
I mean, but I don't want to go to another one of those fucking signature fests or a merchandise festival. You don't really know that until you fucking turn up there.
Yeah. So, I'll
tell a little tale from when I was a kid. I'll tell this. This just kind of sets up one of the reasons we thought this would...
The skies were dark, and then there was fire.
It's a little bit like that. So I'm 14-year-old, you know, spotty-faced 14-year-old, and you got to appreciate I was a boarding school kid, so just to be let out on my own was a bit of a strange thing without a monk following me around.
Sorry. Yeah.
Oh, brother Lawrence, I do miss you. So I get dropped off by my dad at UCAC, and at UCAC that year was Chris Claremont, who I literally worshipped. I loved all his comics. You know, brilliant stuff doing the X-Men. So I see him UCAC. It was in one of the universities near to Russell Square. And I see him in there and he's chatting to people. And I think, right, I'm just going to wait him out till he stops speaking, which is, if you know anything about Chris Claremont, could take years, to be fair. he also has the shiniest head of anyone I've ever seen in my life at the moment.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Cool. Yeah. It's quite an accolade.
Me and Vandal were admiring his shiny head. It's nice.
You can get wax for your head, can't you?
Can you?
Yeah. Just make your head shinier.
Oh, okay.
It's a fact.
How do you know about that? How do you know about that, Dad?
I thought I'd be bald by now, so I've done a little bit of looking into it, but I've not been hit yet. Going on past genetics in my family. But
oh, okay.
I'm still rocking the hair. I presume my family had harder lives than I did.
Yes. That afro is still looking luscious, Dad.
Looks gorgeous.
Thank you. Thank you.
Anyway, so there he is, and I see him, and I think, right, I'm going to wait for him to finish speaking to these fanboys, you know. And then he sort of pauses and he sort of takes a step back and leans against this sort of part of the bar. And I think, right, I'm going to go in. So I walk in with my convention booklet and ask him to sign it. And he snatches it off me, turns around, facing nobody in particular with his back to me, signs it, and then basically hands it back by holding it over his shoulder. So I have to take it back from him.
It's horrible because you kind of project onto them that this person is going to be really nice and kind of...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and ever since then, I sort of hated myself for buying and reading his comics almost. You know, I got to find out what was going to happen to Cannonball and, you know, Wolverine and all this sort of thing. And I thought, oh, I hate the bloke so much. He was so horrible. Broke my... If he did it to me now, I'd probably kick him in his ass. You know?
Yeah.
And you sort of come to this realization that, you know, as much as we love comics and we, you know, we are pretty obsessive about them, we read them most days, they're just comic book writers at the end of the day.
Yeah.
You know? And the same as I'm good at my job and you guys are good at your job, they're good at theirs. And it doesn't make them brilliant. Nice. It doesn't make them incredible people, you know, gods.
Yeah.
They're just people, and you know.
And also, at the same time, everyone has a bad day. Everyone has a grumpy day.
Yeah.
You catch someone at the wrong time of day and, you know, they could just be really off. Which is that, you know, you kind of have to be sort of switched on and approachable to everyone. But not everyone can do that all the time. You know that.
Yeah.
But so, because of that, you get those. You know, that's the impression you make on these. You know, your readers and fans and stuff.
And it kind of put me off speaking to creators for a bit as a teenager. You know, because I thought, oh God, what if I speak to this bloke and I really, you know, I really like his stuff and he's really rude. It's going to put me off comics. You know.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, I think it may have been the same or the next year, I got speaking to Alan Moore on the stairs as another sort of spotty-faced kid's encounter, and he was fucking lovely to me. And I thought, this is brilliant. This is how they should be. Even as in my sort of little young mind, I thought, he's a gentleman, and Chris Claremont's just pompous. You know? And then Chris Claremont brought out a novel, and it was shit, and I laughed.
That's Tony Esmond taking the higher ground.
That's me.
Since 1914.
So I think it is important, you know, and it does, and I will talk about polls that we had in a minute, but it's very important. I mean, I've got, you know, quite a few friends who are pros, you know, not like that, or some of them are both things, I think. You know, and you meet somebody like Pat. We love Pat, don't we? You know, he's brilliant. You know, he's so personable and so friendly, and you watch him speak, you know, I watch him at conventions, and, you know, the sort of the freakish person will walk up and talk to him and Pat, and I saw allowing Mark do this at the weekend. They're polite to these people, you know,
and
friendly. And because that's, you know, the children are our future. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Let's face it,
that's
aren't
fine.
They? You
know? Yeah.
I was going to say, one of the things that came up, and you just perfectly illustrated there, is if someone treats you badly, you don't forget it in a hurry.
You don't, do you?
At all. Yeah. Because kind of like there's almost a connection kind of thing there. And then when that's kind of damaged, it's irreparable. It's really, well, really hurts.
That's one of the questions we asked that we'll touch upon.
We'll get to in a minute, won't we? Yeah. I mean, without necessarily naming anyone, I mean, is that something that you guys have come across? Have you had that experience with anyone? Or
I haven't had like an outright supremely negative, like someone just being an arsehole to me. I'm lucky in that respect, but then again, I haven't sought out that many of these sort of artists and writers that, you know, are like my number one, if you know what I mean. I almost bottle it. I will say in those moments, I get a little
once
too
you had,
sort of...
You had Alan Davis, you had a brilliant experience chatting to him, didn't you?
I did, yeah. That was one of the amazing ones that, you know, I was a little more relaxed than I thought I was going to be. And then he said, oh, have a sit down next to me. And then I was chatting to him for like 10 minutes.
Yeah.
So yeah, and that was awesome because that was just a casual chat, and he was open to talking about, you know, because when you talk to these people, I'm kind of aware. I want to ask him about the Captain Britain design, but how many times has he been asked that?
Yeah,
and that you can tell the way they respond to that says a lot. And he was like, "Well, it's fine," and then he completely opened up about it and he talked about it, you know. And I just thought, spot on. He didn't have to do that. So yeah, he immediately went up. You know, I mean, I'm a huge fan of his work anyway, but then it was just like a joy sitting next to him. If I didn't have to go back to my table and make sure Tony hadn't wrecked everything,
I'd still be with him now. He'd be in his car now, wouldn't you? Yeah.
But generally,
to me, like, you have that interaction with someone, you are gonna buy what they bring out next.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
I was gonna say, generally, your fan interactions have been fine, though, haven't they, Vince? Where people come up to the table.
Yeah. I wouldn't. It's weird. I don't necessarily say fans. It's more readers.
Readers, potential readers.
I mean? Yeah, I think most of the time, my audience sort of interaction and people who come to the table has always been nice. You know, I'm always.
Yeah.
There are. You do get some people that are like shy. You know, some people are a bit sort of bolshy. You know, some people will talk for ages about themselves to you, and then
I get that so odd that
yeah,
I
and then walk away and not sort of buy anything.
Yeah,
it's to be expected though. You know, I mean, it is annoying when you're talking and you're having a great conversation with someone and they walk away and they haven't even tried, you know, just picked up anything, even your cheapest thing. But it's just part of it.
That's fine. Yeah.
Yeah. It's the ups and downs of it, really.
Tony's brought that up before when someone tells you about a comic they're going to write and they've done nothing.
Yeah.
And
I find mostly since I've gone back to sort of, you know, Manning tables recently is people come up and ask advice about how to make a comic.
Yeah.
You know, that's quite a common one recently.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I thought, well, you know, have you written anything or drawn anything yet? Or, you know,
I had a chap come up with, he said, I can ask you a question. And then he had opened his book. And there were like loads of them.
Yeah.
I just went through them all. Yeah.
Where do you live? What clothes do you like? What's your favourite colour? Would you like to come out for a drink?
Some of them.
I thought, yes, black, no.
Did you get that around the right way, Dan?
It sort of came out in that order.
I think some of the interaction that I've had with sort of comic readers and stuff that's been like the nicest is like the younger sort of comic readers, you know, who picked up the books and like, you know, it looks fun and they want to read it. But also there's some young kids that are like, oh yeah, I'm trying to write my own comic book, you know. And as soon as I hear that, you know, it's less about, I don't, you know, it's like the sales pitch goes out the window and I'm like, right, brilliant, I can talk to you, you know. I just want them to go and make comics. You know, I've met some great younger readers who are just really enthusiastic about the medium. And that's, when they walk away, you know, you have a great chat with them for like 10, 15 minutes. They walk away and it energizes you as well. You just think, yes, you know, that's someone who loves comics and wants to make comics. God damn it, I want to make comics. Do you know what I mean? It almost gives you an extra sort of boost.
Oh, yeah. But that story by Chris Imber when he was on the show, and he said some like teenagers come up to the table. One of them saw like half sneer, and he said, "Oh, I could do better than that." And then like his mates were like, "No, you can't.
Yeah,
you never can do that."
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. He was on form at Nottingham. I tell you, he was good company.
Yes,
oh, yeah. Nice one.
Yeah, but let's get to the poll. The first poll. Now we asked it, we just sort of said, creators, how do you find your audience interaction at conventions? There was four answers. There was a joy, I love it, a mixed bag, painful, or what audience? Which I added
that one in.
Yeah, I had that answer, and it was the saddest answer. how, you know, in terms of like creators that we know and beyond, what do you think was the most popular out of those?
I'm going to say it as a joy.
Yeah, I'm going to say let's be positive. That's what I'm going to say.
And you're absolutely right. With 44%, a joy, I love it, was the leading result.
Cool.
With 37% in second place was a mixed bag, which I can understand because you have some great ones and then you get some, you know, whether it be odd people or just not people who just aren't very nice consumers. At the end of the day, some people come to your table, not everyone's going to be nice, are they? Or grumpy?
No.
Now, in third place, with 11%, was what audience? I felt. Oh, that's terrible, isn't it?
I voted 11 times.
And we want everyone who listens to this show and everyone doing a convention to at least, you know, even if a book isn't for you, I always hope that, you know, there's an audience for every type of book that you see at every convention.
I felt bad for some people at London Super Comic Con when they were sitting at their tables and virtually no one was going up to them.
We did see that a couple of times as well.
Yeah, we did.
And also, I don't think it's not down to the quality of the work sometimes. Because if you approach the table, the work looks great. But it's the audience, the traffic of audience sometimes just doesn't reach these people, or people aren't looking to their left. They're always looking to their right, you know. It's a shame. So 8% of the results was painful.
Maybe they mean physically.
Hopefully not.
Is this when you start having the long pauses and kind of looking around?
The one where they
kind of like look it through and then just put it back down and walk off. It's like, okay.
But like, I can dig that. I think if it's not for you, then at least you've had a look through it. You know what I mean? Yeah. I think I saw, I mentioned to John Late today on Twitter, actually, or Facebook, that he has stands where he has his books open as well. That's so good. It's not, you don't actually sell just by the cover, because covers, you know what small press is like. You can have an amazing cover and the interiors are fucking dreadful.
Yeah.
He has the book open so you can see that the, you know, the interiors are the equal of the cover almost thing, you know?
Yeah.
And I think that's a really good idea, and you don't see enough of that. I mentioned that to him today. Good idea. Yeah.
I mean, that saying about judging a book by a comics cover, it totally doesn't work for comics.
I think the responses that we've got to this poll as well is also sort of down to the individual creator and how confident they feel and how they are interacting with people. Because some people have confidence in spades, and some people, you know, have confidence in their work, but they don't. You know, because it is, you do have to sell yourself.
As a small press creator, you got to wear so many fucking hats. Like, be the creator, the salesman, the accountant, as it were. You got to really kind of multitask what you're doing.
Yeah.
I find the sales aspect quite difficult, if I'm honest.
I almost feel like it's a bit cheap to do sometimes.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So let's hear a few responses to this one. Emily Owen at Tomboy Princess and our panel mate at Nottingham.
Yeah, she's very good.
Member of the
show. Great company. I sat next to her in the pub. Great company, her and Gav. Yeah, we did have an absolute blast. Yeah.
Yeah. She said, "I hate it and love it at the same time. I feel like a dick trying to sell stuff, so I try to chat instead. It's great to talk to people, especially those that are excited by stuff, but I get so anxious around new people. This gruff exterior is all a front. Also, people think I might be scary in real life, but I'm bloody well not." Who wants to respond to that? No, Emily is lovely, and I think some people do get nervous and anxious. You know, I certainly do, especially at the beginning of the day. You need to warm up sometimes at a convention.
Yeah.
So, I mean, me personally, you know, the first couple of people that come to my table that I don't know, you know, the sales pitch, as it were, you know, it's just awful.
Sharp, quite, yeah, is it? Yeah.
It's not quite sharp. So I can empathise. Now, at Drivar, he said, "I have such a hard time with interaction. I hate being pushy salesy, and I have a shit memory for names and faces." That's true. I mean, I'm terrible. You know, the more people you get to know, the more people you have to remember. And especially when you get people come to your table that know you online, but don't look like their avatar.
Yeah.
I mean, that's happened quite a few times.
That's difficult.
Yeah. Or sometimes people come to the table and they chat to you and you look at them and you think, I know you. How do I know you?
Yeah, they're referencing things as well.
Yeah.
You're kind of recognising, you're like, oh, fucking hell.
Yeah.
Have we had a sexy time together? Yeah. Oh, my memory's terrible.
Well, it could be. I mean, your memoirs are going to be massive, aren't they,
Thomas? Oh, yeah. Lovely, aren't they?
Yeah. It's like Diary of a Cool Girl. What was it called?
With me and the Billy Piper.
Probably. Yeah. Who would play Tony?
Yeah. I'll just get Billy Piper again. She's pretty good in the last series, isn't she?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now we had an interesting response to this one. Rachel Smith, she got in touch and she said, "It's usually great, but there's almost always one dickhead who can't believe that I, a tiny woman, has made books all by herself. Sometimes if I have a male friend helping me at cons, folk will assume he is the creator, despite my banner and despite my name being on everything."
I can't believe. Well, obviously, I do believe it, but it's just I can't believe people act like that. It's unbelievable.
I thought we left all that behind. I like
me too.
I'm a little bit naive, but
I think you know, we'd like to think that we have left all that behind, but I think it's very prevalent. I think it's there's so many brilliant female creators out there, and you know, just stand like Rachel's saying, she's got banners. There's no mistaking.
No.
Who she is and what she does, and how anyone can come to her table and just not, you know, think, "Oh, did he do this?" I don't.
She's got. I wouldn't describe something as a feminine style, but she's got a There's a real personality to her work.
God,
you
yeah.
know, sometimes
yeah.
you can see, you can almost reflect an artist in their work, you know.
Yeah.
I don't mean that in a male or female way. I just mean it in a personality way.
Yeah.
Now, her personality to me, you know, is you can see it shining out of her work almost, can't you, you know?
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a weird one. I mean, if I was sat at the table next to her, you wouldn't look at me and think, oh, I drew that. Yeah. You know, does that make sense?
No.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No. I think it's a problem that a lot of female, especially small press and independent creators, have. You know, because their name isn't so widely recognised at the moment.
I see we've got one on the other side of that. I won't mention the person's name, but they wrote in and said, I was at a comic expo this year and approached a table just inside the room, and the first thing the guy on the table asked was, do you read comics? I was a little bit annoyed, so I replied, why else would I be here? His response was, maybe you've been brought along by someone else. That's not really not how to approach a potential customer, especially a lone female. It put me off completely.
That just fucking pisses me. It pisses me right up. You know, it's,
So that's a two-way street, that one. But despicable behaviour both ways.
You know, I mean, it's those moments when I realise how sort of naive and ignorant I am to all of this, because, you know, I haven't seen it or experienced it. And when you just hear about it, it's just sad. You know what I mean? There's just... I mean, if you ask me, especially since we started this show, most of the books that I've talked about that I've loved have all been from female creators. Do you know what I mean?
I genuinely do. I mean, I completely 1,000% mean this. I don't care if you're a man or a woman. I'll read your comic if it's good.
Yeah.
God, yeah, that should be the only thing that matters.
Yeah.
I don't care if you're black or white or from space or whatever. I don't care. As long as you make a good comic, I will read it.
Yeah.
That's my only measuring rod, is whether it's good or not.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I that's why I can't fathom, you know, because we've got that sort of mindset. I can't fathom how other people think. It's frustrating. It's frustrating, but, you know.
And Rachel is brilliant. Rachel's work is some fantastic. Of my favourite comics, genuinely. Yeah. She's so good. And she's such a nice person as well. It's such a shame that people act like complete divs, isn't it? You know, it really is.
It is absolutely, Another thing that, part of the same feed, actually, Faye of the Foldings, who we saw at Bristol, at MD Doodles, she said, I had a young dude recently tell me, these are actually pretty good, and then wink. I just stared, as the tone of the voice isn't clear in text, like I was 5 years old. It's just unbelievable. I mean, how well done you. Yeah, yeah. It's like, oh, you did this.
I don't know. I can only imagine somebody trying to be a bit cool and it just absolutely falling flat.
It's just bloody patronising.
Here's what I'll say. If you go to a table and you're going to speak to someone, think of something to say.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, when you walk up to a table, think of something to say, for fuck's sake.
Yeah.
Don't just say what the first thing occurs to you, because it's going to be uncomfortable, probably.
Yeah.
Just say, oh, you know, these look really nice. You know, how do you colour them? You know, what's it about? That's always a good one.
Yeah.
You know, have something like that to say. Just don't go, well done you. I'm just going to wet my hanky and clean this bit of dirt off your nose.
Yeah.
You know, like they're a five-year-old.
Yeah. I think that's all, that ignorance is a sad state of affairs, and I can only hope it's going to get less as the years go on.
I mean, Steve put it a couple of weeks ago. He said, look, you're as likely to, you know, sell a comic to a woman as a man at comic conventions. He's right these days.
God, yeah. You know. So a couple of other ones. Dave Crane. At Dave,
I like Dave. He's a good lad. Yeah.
At Dave the Crane, love that name. I find it great talking to people, even though relatively few translate to sales. My key goal at a convention is interaction, which is the way to be. You know, I think you've got to try and walk away from.
You're not going to become millionaires off this, are we? Let's face it.
No, I think if you're missing the money, you're in it for the wrong reason.
Yeah, definitely.
So that was good. What other ones have we got here?
I tell you, Nick Pollock's mentioned something that when he kind of does the webcomic, feels like he's kind of shouting into the void. And I think that's something all kind of webcomic creators get. Yeah. But obviously it's a bit different because, say, you're for instance, the Red Mask, when you're taking that to UK conventions, people that go to UK conventions, they build up a base, whereas kind of webcomic artists, you're literally the whole world's your audience. Yeah. So, like, you might have a majority of your audience is overseas and you never get to meet them.
We had a lot. We used to get, when I ran that webcomic, we'd get a lot in like Singapore and Malaysia and all these sort of places. We're reading it, you know.
Yeah, and it's kind of okay. It's fine. I mean, perhaps we should do a thing on one day about interacting with kind of audiences online.
Yeah,
because that's a kind of vast subject. Well, there's a lot of stuff there.
It's
got
to be something that gets them to click back again, isn't it?
Yeah.
With an online one. Yeah.
It's definitely about, you know, it's not just about how the creators interact with their audiences. You know, it's a two-way street, isn't it, really? And like Connor Boyle says in a couple of tweets here, he says, don't judge on appearances. Ask how their day is going. Ask what other stuff they've seen. Suggest tables to visit to. And I try not to dip my brush in the coffee or drink bottle of ink whilst talking. So mostly a joy. Unless the brush coffee happens, then not joy. Mostly harumphing queuing for new coffee. So you do have to have a positive outlook with interacting with people, but it's
Have you ever come across a creator or a customer who's been a bit pissed yet?
No.
When I say pissed, I mean drunk. If for the Americans listening, not pissed off.
Yeah, I've come across a fellow creator that way.
Have you?
Yeah, we all have.
We
mentioned her name.
Oh, I can't think who that is.
Shed a few insider.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, sorry,
drinks.
I remember.
Drinks.
Yeah, easy.
Drinks.
The only thing that made that funny was the fact that you had to clarify it.
You've got to clarify on this show.
Yeah, it's very true.
I remember meeting quite an old school Bronze Age Marvel artist who was pretty pissed at a Brighton convention I went to. And insisted on hugging me constantly. I quite liked it. I quite liked the hugs, firstly. But he was quite funny as well. Do you know what I mean? I thought, this is brilliant. I think he travelled over from America, and he was so pleased to be there. He kept sort of hugging me. Yeah. And I kept saying how much I liked his art, or thing. I'll give you a little clue. And he kept hugging me and sort of giggling and laughing. And, you know, I thought, hey, what a nice guy.
You know, did he make any more references about his man thing?
Yeah, giant-sized man thing. And then later on, he was sort of slightly passed out in the bar, which I thought, that's good. I like to see that. He's come over. That's what British conventions should have the reputation for. What? Come over.
And just pass out in a bar.
Get pissed as a handcart and pass out.
Oh, dear. Alcohol, it's evil. Right, last one on this one. Catriona Chapman. At Cap Chapman on Twitter, said, the only thing that ever bugs me is if someone blocks your table for ages and they're just chatting to somebody else. Or sometimes someone puts their shopping down on top of your books while they look at the next table.
Oh, that's fucking annoying.
Yeah.
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 We've all experienced that, I'm pretty sure.
I've never had the beverage on the table.
Oh, I have.
Not experienced that yet. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So, I think everyone enjoys doing it. I think most people enjoy doing it, but it's always everyone always remembers the negative ones, don't they?
Yeah.
The negative interaction is always going to kind of stay with you over the positive ones.
Yeah.
Have you ever had an interaction with a creator, like a well-known creator, away from the sort of convention floor or anything like that, where you bumped into them in the hotel or anything like that?
Are we talking about like indie creators that we know, or
no? I was thinking about more people who are there, sort of pro creators type things.
Procreating.
You know, the sort of people who invite, you know, like name guests and stuff like that.
I think
not personally.
Yeah.
Have I told you my Peter David story? Peter David does a dump story. Have I told you that one?
I want to hear it.
Yeah. Peter David. I like Peter David's writing, and I read loads of his Star Trek novels and all that. His Babylon 5 novels. He's good. You know, really like his stuff. And his whole crumb was great and all that sort of thing. And then I was just going in the toilet and New York, sort of away from the floor, and out he comes. And he's had quite a big visit, I'm going to say. He's a big lad as well. You know, you know, there was a JCB just parked ready to, you know, remove it. And he was really sweaty, like he'd just run away from the police, like really sweaty. And I thought, this is my one and only opportunity to speak to Peter David, you know, because he's always got a queue. So I sort of shook his hand, and it's right, dripping with sweat. And I said, oh, Peter, I loved your Star Trek novels, really liked them in a sort of enthusiastic fanboy way. And he just sort of looked at me really embarrassed, as if to say, yeah, you can still smell the farts wafting out from the toilet. And then he sort of wandered off. And even now I think, that was a bit embarrassing, wasn't it?
For him, yes. I can probably totally. I can understand his reaction then.
next.
Did he give him a chance to wash his hands?
No, oh, yeah, he'd wash his hands. I'm hoping that I can actually see him going to a cubicle so I can sort of climb over. Sit there on the floor in the cubicle, talk to him while he's, you know.
Or just sneak your head underneath the door.
Yeah.
And just look up at him so you can, like, you know. Maybe take your recorder with you so then you could get us some audio for the show. That'd be good.
Do some selfies. I hope he's not one of those people who does, like, naked poos. You know, some people strip off completely to do a poo, don't they?
What, in a public toilet?
Well, just generally, anywhere, you know. I like to wear something if I'm doing a poo. Otherwise, I feel a bit, you know, vulnerable.
Well, hopefully, you know, you disrobe a certain amount to have a...
Yeah. I don't want to get caught in the... It's like that time. I told you about the time I was with a girl and we were in the woods. We were in a car parked up by the woods and I needed a poo. I've told you that story, haven't I?
No.
Well, go on. You know what? All of your stories revolve around poo.
Some of them do, don't they? Yeah. I thought, I've got to go. And I said, oh, excuse me, I've got to go to the toilet. She went, all right, I'll wait here for you. And I went out into the woods, dropped my trousers, did a dump, and then pulled my trousers up. But I dumped into the top of my trousers.
How'd you get out of that one then?
No, I don't know. It's a made-up story. But, yeah, that's quite good, isn't it?
Do you know what? That reminds me of a story that I've heard, actually. But, yes, I can't believe which... What is it about toilet humour that just tickles us?
I'm quite tired today, so I like to sort of, you know what I mean?
Yeah, usually we do this on a Sunday where we've been relatively rested.
Yeah. What day is it today? Wednesday.
Wednesday. Oh,
God. Wednesday he doesn't even know what day it is, people.
No. I get giddy at the thought of recording.
Really?
Yeah, a little bit.
Oh, perhaps it's low blood sugar. Right. Now here's the second poll we did, which was
this is the big one, isn't it?
This is the big one. Now we said, would an unfriendly or poor interaction with a creator/cosplayer put you off buying their work in the future?
I'm gonna say yes.
I would probably say yes as well. There were three answers on this. Yes, no, and for a little while, because I thought, you know, sometimes you'd be put off, but then, you know, the quality...
Kind of put it to your back here. You blank it out, don't you?
Yeah. Especially if, like you say, the Chris Claremont stuff, you know, if you're enjoying reading it, you might pick it up again. Do you know?
I've got almost every issue, you know, Uncanny. Yeah. And I just literally had to sort of blank it out of my mind. And the worst thing is, I felt bad about it. I just thought, oh, maybe I'd interrupted him.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
No, it was Peter David was the one you interrupted.
Yeah. Oh, fart face.
Oh, good God. So, out of those three answers, which one do you think? This is the poll that we've had the biggest reaction to.
So, what's the responses again?
Yes, no, for a little while.
I'm
going to say yes, but I think there'll be a bit of a vote for a little while. I think people will try to be reasonable as well, you know?
Mm. Okay, then in third position, with 5%, is no.
Ooh.
No one will be put off.
Just 5%, that's incredible.
Yeah. But at the same time, it kind of surprises me. But, you know, perhaps.
Yeah.
In second place, with 19%, is for a little while.
Oh, so bloody hell.
Yeah, it's pretty strong.
So with 76%... a lot of you people out there said yes, you would be put off buying a creator's work if they've had a poor or unfriendly interaction with you.
And see, that says a lot. That's something that creators have got to pay attention to. Yeah. I mean, how many people did we get voting in that? A lot of people, didn't we?
Yeah, that was 150 we had on that.
I mean, that's a good.
And this was a short poll, by the way, because we were recording tonight. This went up
3 hours, didn't it?
Yeah, this was only like 4 or 5 hours that this all went up.
Yeah.
So
I use my big word again about extrapolating data.
Oh.
if you fuck off readers and don't treat them well or potential customers, they won't forget. Yeah.
I think that's a big evidence for creators. You've got to be, you know, on don't your game. Just be moody, moody moves, you know, when you're at conventions. You got to fucking be on your game. Be nice to people, for God's sake. You know, and they will return. You know.
Yeah.
Okay, interesting. I actually am sort of slightly sad, but glad that that's, you know, evidence that people... I think separating the artist and the art these days is very difficult, isn't it?
Yeah.
And here's some of the responses. Robin William Scott, Robin W. Scott. He said, yes, absolutely. First and foremost, I would have to interact with them again. I want to buy their work in the future. Sorry, I read that wrong. If my experience has been bad, I don't want to repeat that. But probably more importantly, comics, small press especially, is a window into someone's character. If I'm given a bad impression of them through an interaction, it will taint their work.
Yeah, you wouldn't buy an autobiographical comic from someone who was just bloody rude to you.
Yeah.
Because you couldn't empathize with them in the comic, could you? Yeah.
No. I mean, I can understand why some people try and keep their personality, as it was, off of social media for fear of tainting their work. But on the other side of it, if you come across quite well and personable on social media, people would be more inclined to look favorably upon your work and buy it.
Yeah.
So it's a kind of fine line you got to tread.
Yeah.
Was it you, Vince, I was talking to about this at the weekend, saying Twitter is now your storefront?
Yeah.
Twitter is how you sell your books. Like, you know, if you spend your life moaning about stuff and slagging off other creators, people are going to be turned off against your work, you know?
Yeah. I mean, the way I, and this is how I treat all my social media, really, even like Facebook, and I don't really Facebook, but is, I don't know, I like my personal life. So I keep all, you know, when I'm on social media, it's just essentially to talk about either my comics or to interact with other comics creators or to say, bloody hell, Doctor Strange was great, wasn't it?
Mine's mostly comics or pictures of my dog.
I did tweet about a dude.
I tweeted about a dude taking a shit on the train. So I went a bit off road with that one.
Hey, but you also did a tweet, Dan, where you did a poo, didn't you? Remember?
No.
That was my work colleague stitching me up. Whatever.
That was great. That is the one that made me absolutely laugh today. What did he say? I'm pooping hard or something. And the next one was you saying, I didn't write that. I don't know who this person is. I admire him.
Oh, dear. It didn't take us long to get back onto
this. It's in revenge because I did it to someone else. I looked at their phone and then
terms and conditions of Facebook.
So basically, this is justice. Is that what you're saying? That was justice.
No, there was no justice there. That was just revenge. What I did was an act of humour, comedy, and they just took it too far. By doing exactly the same thing I did.
Amazing.
Good.
Back to the people's poor character or interactions. Some of the responses now. Sarah Harris at Implausible 17, she said, depends how poor, which is, that makes total sense because everything is always variables and different levels. She said, if they're just a bit shy or awkward, that's fine. But if they're outright rude, I wouldn't buy again. Which totally makes, you know, people are shy. I agree.
I had this experience with a creator, and he's a writer artist, and I've tried to speak to him now, I think three times I've tried to speak to him. And every time I've tried to speak to him, he just stares at me. Mm. At one point, I wondered whether he was deaf and I didn't realise.
Mm.
You know, and I think... And now I won't buy his book, I've got to tell you. I reviewed one of his books, actually, and it was good. But now I just can't be bothered. In his pocket.
Mm.
Yeah.
Simon Russell, at Simon at Boeing. I'd buy good comics by rude folk. I just avoid the creators, but not by bad people. This puts me off retailers quickly there.
I think the problem we've got is, do we, you know, we know so much about people, you know, so even to the point like, is he a Trump supporter? And you think, oh, you sort of read stuff into that, don't you? And, you know, is he this and is he that? And then you think, oh, I shouldn't really be buying his book because, you know, is he? I think we almost know too much about some people, don't we, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, we get a lot of that even more with kind of social media nowadays. Like, you get that thrown up. I kind of get tired of it a lot of the times, to be honest. People's pushing narratives and agendas and shit like that. But
Yeah.
I mean, it was like with that Orson Scott Card. I think I remember reading Ender's Game, thinking, I really like this book. I really enjoy it. I'd like to see what the film's going to be like. And then when just before the film came out, it came out about all that stuff about he's anti-gay, blah, 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 blah. And I was like, oh, I don't really want to watch it now.
Yeah, I never saw that at the end, and it's usually a film, sort of film that I would, Harrison Ford's in it, I'd have probably watched it, you know, but it's a weird one, isn't it?
It's a weird one.
Tom Mortimer.
Alice in Wonderland is always the one, isn't it? You know, Alice in Wonderland, the creator of that has had a sort of a number of personal interests, put it that way.
Mm.
You know,
really?
It's the, how do you separate the art from the artist?
Exactly,
it, really?
Yeah.
This is a bit unrelated, but I was listening to like an old episode of Ricky Gervais on XFM, and the song came up by the band The Lost Prophets, and you know what that lead singer of that was.
Yeah.
It's like, holy fucking hell. It's like, it's kind of, this thing's come unbidden into my life, and it's horrid.
Yeah.
But, the kind of actions of a creator will taint their work.
Yeah.
And, like I say, especially in small press, it's even more so, because if you're interacting with someone face-to-face over a desk and it goes badly, I can't see how it can't forever taint what they're you're buying.
Especially if you have a bit of a disagreement or an argument with someone, even on Twitter, are you really going to buy their, you know, buy their book or even listen to their podcast? Let's face it. God, it's so depressing.
Need to bring it up.
Yeah.
Flagging.
We will in a minute. Look, the next question after this is going to be the
positive.
Yeah. It's going to be the upper, not the downer.
But Mark Lemon, when we tweeted, and he kind of just came up with some really kind of great advice, as in keeping it professional and bang on, and it's like all the things you should be doing as kind of common sense.
Yeah. And you know, we occasionally I just tweet something and say, oh, I fucking love comics. Yeah. And I do. Do you know what I mean? That's why we love it. I mean, I know that's why a lot of people have very strong opinions about it, because it's something that we enjoy and they enjoy in their own way. But you know, you got to be positive about it. I like to think most of what we tweet or whatever you call it is 100% positive, isn't it? Like, look at this cover and look at this comic and buy this, and you know.
And that's,
I always try and retweet stuff when I see comic stuff coming across my timeline.
Yeah.
And always making stuff and trying to help people out with stuff.
Yeah.
I think that's the way to do it.
Yeah. It's there's a reason it's a community, isn't it? Like, we're all kind of in it together, aren't we?
Like, it's fucking great, isn't it? There's so much fucking great comics out there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think I'll read one more out from the list of replies on this one, because I think it pretty much sums it all up. So it's a short and sweet one. By @Wacker_XO. Yes, but there are always other people to buy from.
Yeah, that's true.
Says it all.
Yeah.
If you know, just because someone has pissed you off, there's so many other brilliant stuff out there, you know.
Yeah.
There's other people who deserve your money that, you know, you maybe didn't know about before. So, you know, every cloud has a silver lining, doesn't it?
Yeah,
thank you to everyone that voted on the polls the past couple of days. It's been a very, very interesting one. And certainly whenever we talk about conventions, everyone has a convention sort of story, don't they? Everyone has a convention experience. Yeah. So with that in mind, we then decided conventions are all about the good times. So rather than everyone was thinking, oh, God, yeah, I've been pissed off by this person. Oh, I hate this person's done this.
Yeah.
So I put out a shout out. What great moments have you had with creators and readers at one that made you smile? You know, and we had some nice responses to this. MD Doodles, when someone comes back the next day and says they just read my book and loved it, that's always an A++ mood lifter.
Yeah,
that's
definitely.
Especially with
conventions that now run 3 days, some of them, you know.
Yeah, because that's great. If they pick your book up on the first day and they come back and then tell you that they loved it, that'd just be awesome, wouldn't it?
I do that. If I pick up a book and then I go and read it while I'm having a coffee for lunch or something, I always go back and say, oh, I read that. It's really good. Yeah. I really liked it.
That's cool.
Yeah.
At SJ Webster Art, he said, agreed. I bought issue one yesterday, last year online, and loved it. And then they buy the next one. That's always good.
Yeah.
You know, the return readers are always the best.
Mm.
Matt Strott @Messy Comics. He says he met MK Hoddy at SPX, sketched in my book, nice conversation about comics and life, made it a chat, not a sales pitch. Top dude. Which is always good. Claire Hemsworth at Kiara Cobb. I hope I got that wrong. Right. I met the lovely at Level 8 Comics, which is John Late.
Yeah.
So, John Late is Level 8 Comics. Yeah. She met him, who I officially considered to be my gateway drug to small press comics, MCM Brum, last year. Which is
awesome. Doesn't surprise me that John Late is some form of drug dealer.
She's a big Breathing Bean fan.
Yeah,
she is. So, she cosplays, is it, didn't she? I think.
Yeah. And she has since, she's also a big fan of the small press and lots of other indie books as well.
Yeah, she's very supportive of us as well.
Really good. Thank you very much, Claire. Your support is really appreciated. At this Chucklehead, at Bristol Expo, I picked up Mulp from Sarah Dunkerton, read half of issue one at lunch, and had to go back and get issue two.
Yes.
I was really excited to get it, but Sarah also seemed really happy too.
Yeah, Sarah had a couple of conversations amongst all this about characters in her comics and stuff like that. Yeah, everyone got quite engaged around this, didn't they, today?
Yeah,
it's good.
Yeah, it was cool. That's what we like about this. You know, lots of creators and readers and all kinds.
Yeah.
They get involved in conversations with each other. It's brilliant just watching it just go off in its own.
Yeah, Vince started doing these polls, didn't you? And then we're like, what about this? What about this? You know, and it's gone really well so far, hasn't it? Yeah.
Yeah.
I like hearing back from people like this. You know, rather than just us shouting. about poo.
Well, kind of that finding that poll result about how many people wouldn't buy after having a negative interaction is pretty eye-opening.
I find that really interesting.
Yeah.
So, you know, when you've had that grumpy day and you're signing stuff and just throwing it back across the table and not actually talking to anyone, you are affecting your sales by doing that.
Yeah, very much so.
Yeah.
Even that stuff when people said they didn't turn up on time for the con. I can't remember who was saying it, but they said basically the con would be open 2.5 hours and someone hadn't turned up for their table. It's fucking madness.
Yeah.
Unless you're kind of like having problems getting there, or whatever. But if you're making an active choice not to do that, I think you're crazy.
Yeah. Oh, I sat in a panel room for 2 hours waiting for Jim Lee to turn up at Bristol once. You know, you think, what are you doing?
He wasn't doing the panel, Jim Lee. Tony was just waiting to jump on him as he
I wanted to put him in my pocket and carry him off because he's only little, isn't he?
Yeah. No. He's still got it, though. He's still got it, no matter what you say. James Randall at Randall77, he said, Bristol in the early noughts. I was refreshed at the hotel bar. Told the mighty Dave Gibbons that he was responsible for co-creating one of my favourite things in existence, and I demanded he let me buy him a drink. He did. He's great.
That's a great story.
Yeah,
I love all these stories. We must get something on because I certainly remember the days of heavy drinking at UCAC and Bristol. Yeah, they were like big drinking days, and a lot of the Yanks used to come over and be a bit scared of how you know some of the guys could really put it away at the bar, and it got a bit lively. Mm-hmm. You know, when you got big lumps like Liam Sharp and all these sort of people who can like proper down a beer. Yeah, it's cool. It's good stuff.
A couple more, Rick Jackson. At Go Jackson Go, I had kids ask me about creating comics. Very humbling and loads of fun. Similar to what I said earlier, but that's just amazing. And I'm sure Rick gave him plenty of advice as well. He's got some good stuff out there. Izzy McAuliffe, she said, I queued for ages for Rufus Dayglow's sketch at BICS years ago. Gave him a Kit Kat. He was so pleased, he gave me pencils for GD Meg cover.
Cool.
That's cool, isn't it? Yeah. And she posted the pencils. I saw she posted them up, didn't she?
Yeah,
that was great.
I think the Liam Moore giant buttons thing still stands, as far as I'm aware.
Yeah.
So,
must get Leah back on. She was so good, wasn't she? Yeah.
She was really good.
Yeah. We've got potential. There was another one that I have to say here. Let's finish on this one, shall we?
What about me?
At Pongo Girl.
Hey.
Meeting as He bought me a comic with monkeys riding greyhounds on the cover and everything. What a guy.
Yeah, you see? Always pull him in with the monkeys riding greyhounds comic.
Classic approach.
Fans love it.
Yeah.
We don't have fans. We have people who barely put up with listening to us. But yeah, you know.
Yeah. But we love every single one of you. What was
the name of that comic?
Yeah, was it a Valiant issue or something like that? Yeah, I think it was an old English comic. Yeah. I think if she, it's Grenier, isn't it? I think if she'd have taken it out of the bag, it had probably fallen apart. Yeah. But because we're going to talk about Bubbles 07, I saw this comic as I was going through the bin. I thought, oh, brilliant. This will make a funny little gift during the interview. She was great on interview, actually. You must get her on again. Yes. Really funny, she was. Yeah. Yes.
And once more with feeling, why not? Danny Abrams at Bintikins. She said, the best convention interaction. I will never forget meeting the Etherington brothers at Cardiff Expo. Best bunch of dudes by a mile. I've heard.
Hang on a minute, she's been out with us. We're the best bunch of dudes.
Really? Yeah. I've yet to meet the Etherington brothers.
Did you not meet them on Saturday?
No, I did not see them. I've heard nothing but good things about them. So there you go. We'll have to. Do you reckon they'll talk to us one day?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. I mean, Kev Brett's friends with them, and I did a panel with them last year at Nottingham.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Look at you.
Yeah, very good they are.
Look at you.
Yeah. I know.
So there you go, folks. I think, everyone got stuck in. I think we covered quite a lot, didn't we?
Yeah, I think so. That is really eye-opening, that poll, though, I've got to tell you. I mean, it's something we all probably know, but people have that strong opinion about it.
I think it just goes to show that interaction at a convention is hugely important. Be prepared to, I can understand people that aren't necessarily super confident at it. I certainly sometimes am not. Sometimes you have your good days and your bad days, but you always have to come prepared to just, everyone that comes to your table, treat them like...
Yeah, they're just people, for God's sake. I'm a great believer in, these people are just people. Yeah. I've met some real sort of comics heroes of mine. Mike Grell a couple of years ago at London was brilliant. Mike Zeck this year was brilliant.
Yeah.
These sort of people. And Jim Starlin, I sat down and had a chat with him. And they're just comic creators. I know we look up to them. We think, oh, I hope I really get on well with him. But we're all good at our jobs and they're good at their jobs. It doesn't make them,
And it works. Yeah, it works both ways. If you're behind a table, They're people just like us, aren't they? And vice versa. If you're not necessarily a comic creator, but you just like picking up small press comics, then talk to the creators because
sometimes we are bored sitting there. So come and talk to us for God's sake.
Yeah. I mean, generally, people love talking about their creations and what they're doing.
Yeah,
it's an easy go-to, really.
Yeah.
So
it's the old way, isn't it? You can get someone on side by asking them about themselves.
Yeah, that's exactly it.
I think we've certainly touched about a couple of things that require further discussion in the future. So who knows? We've all made notes, so watch this space. But thank you again to everyone that got in touch with your opinion, especially we kind of dropped this subject on you sort of last minute as well because we were recording early. So I'm hugely impressed and pleased and love you all for getting in touch. So hopefully if you listen to this episode, because if not, it's absolutely pointless me saying that.
And go to Nottingham next year. I had probably one of my favourite times at a convention for a long time.
Oh, nice.
Absolutely
one.
Absolutely brilliant. Yeah, really good.
Yeah. Yeah. One day we'll stuff Dan Vanguard Butcher in the back of a car.
Yeah, we'll get in there eventually.
Just tie me up by a chain and then drag me down the M1.
It's a bit harsh, Dan. There'll only be his shoes left. But Dan loves Payne, don't you, Dan?
Yeah. That's why
Payne's his friend.
Payne is his friend. Also, another thing that he loves, 80s action movies.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I wasn't here for last week's.
No.
Yeah.
Ah.
And he's 2-for-1, Tony.
Yeah, I got it right last time.
He got it right. Yeah. So yes, it's that time of the week. It's Action Dan. Come on, Tony, do a theme tune.
I'm not as good at Dobes as things like that. I haven't got a lovely voice like him.
I'm still waiting for the bed of music 1 week.
Yeah, keep asking Vince for beds of music, and he keeps saying, "Yeah, I might do that," and then we never get it. I asked him for Tom's Diner a few weeks ago and he just sort of ignored me.
Oh, dear God. It's like herding geese.
I think as soon as Vince starts giving into these requests, we'd start asking for more and more.
Oh, yeah. Next up, the Venga boys.
Oh, yeah.
I did say about the swearing being bleeped out. I thought that'd be hilarious.
Yeah. I like it when he does that bleepy thing, like we're yeah, in that's, the outtake.
Yeah,
like that.
That's good.
Yeah. I am here. You're talking about me.
Proud of you. Yeah. Very proud of you, I am.
You're raising the bar there.
Oh, yeah. Thanks, guys. Okay. But yes, Action Dan. Our quiz that's got nothing to do with comics. We're just doing it because we like doing it.
Yeah. Don't care, do we?
Yeah, because we love 80s action films. I think most people out there love 80s films, whether they be action, horror, or whatever. But Dan stupidly said that, you know, it would be his specialist subject in Mastermind.
Yeah.
They are. That's big words, Dan. So, therefore, we've asked people to test you on it. And if they can stump you or, you know, give you a bit of jip or you get it wrong, then Dan Butcher will do a random sketch and send it to them. He's done one. Yep. And it was awesome. It was one from the film Cyborg, which I saw. Which I saw a clip of on YouTube, The Last Final Fight, and it doesn't age well, that film.
Oh, doesn't it? I fancied watching it again, like after I heard about it last week.
I recommend you watching it. But The Last Fight, the bad guy just constantly just goes,
Isn't it like slow mo in the rain and there's lots of blue?
And the bad guy doesn't even really fight properly. He just sort of.
So is it like The Last Fight in The Matrix then? Bit like that.
It's the original Matrix Cyborg. There you go. No, but so we've got a question this week. We had a couple of questions that I had to pick from.
Oh, okay.
This week. But I've chosen to pick one because he was first in, and also I want to test down on this one.
From this Brian, is going to be a hard one then.
Brian Vander. No, seriously, dude, some of the questions we got, you never would have gotten a month of Sundays.
He was best boy on the 1982.
Yeah.
Yeah. Who groomed Stallone's hair on Over the Top?
I had a conversation about Over the Top at the weekend.
Really?
Yeah. With the Gibster. Yeah, we're talking about arm wrestling movies. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, you don't get that many of them, do you?
No, it's not that many.
Now, Dan, this one, basically you have to give the answer is a list. Okay?
Okay.
So, name in order from the film Predator all the victims of Dutch's team that the Predator kills. Now, you have to get them in order, their names. Oh, okay.
This is very difficult.
Right, there's six of them. And, right, you got a bit of time to think about it, but you can't get any of them wrong. Go.
Okay, it is...
Who died first?
Oh, God. The name escapes me. It's the guy Shane Black plays.
Yeah.
Next one after that's Blaine.
Hang on. No, hang on. You've got to know his name.
Oh, God.
Otherwise, it's like, oh, yeah, there's the bloke that Apollo Creed played. Oh, yeah.
It's been a hard day.
Oh.
No, you can't say that because Apollo Creed and Dan are personal friends.
That's very true.
He did Carl tweet
Weathers.
Me.
We love Carl Weathers on this show. Carl, you should
Action
be on the show.
Jackson is actually a much underrated movie.
I've never seen that one.
I agree.
Right, yeah, it's all right.
Are you conceding?
His name will come to me, but it's that character, Blaine.
Yeah.
Then Mac.
Yeah.
Dylan.
Yep.
Billy.
Yep.
Fucking hell.
I think that's it. And then Hawkins. And then Dutch obviously beats him.
Is that right? You got it wrong.
What was the order?
I was gonna let you have Hawkins, right? It's Hawkins, Blaine, Mac, Dylan. Billy.
A Poncho.
And then Poncho gets taken out of the end.
Hawkins is the first one. Is Poncho got... Oh, bollocks.
Mate, oh, that is hugely... I don't know any of those names.
I've watched that film. I could recite that film in my sleep. That's probably the only answer that I could have done confidently.
Right.
All the other ones, I'm like, how the fuck... How's he going to answer this?
If I didn't get the names fucked up, I would have got that. But, oh,
the
well, I can
that
see...
The only thing that occurs to me around that is, what have we done with our lives?
Yeah.
I once watched Predator backwards.
What?
I don't know why.
Yeah, I don't know why. I don't know what you get from that.
Yeah,
that was during the 90s coke fiend Vincent
yeah.
Hunt.
Well, that though, was, yeah, that was the VHS days. Do you know what I mean? Simpler times.
I think it was me and Van were talking about the fact that Van Damme went for the Predator, didn't he? As in, he played the Predator initially.
That was the first question he was going to ask. Yeah. Actually. So, but I thought that'd be too easy.
Yeah.
So there you
go. He played the Predator. Van Damme did.
Originally,
he was running around with the kind of the green suit on, and he didn't understand the technology of what was going to be happening. So he kind of got himself kicked off the set.
The suit.
But he's not that big, is he?
The suit was completely different. It was a completely different alien design, and it looked awful. So, Stan Winston was brought in very late and designed it sort of on his way there. So,
because they came up with it like saying, "Oh, what if like they're trying to think of a Rocky sequel." Like, oh, we do Rocky versus an alien, and that eventually.
I'd love to see that.
Oh, that's really
Predator. You can pretty much, if you watch that film Arena, that's pretty much Rocky versus
I love that film. Claudia Christensen's in that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've got that on DVD. That's a good film, that. Yeah, that's by the same people who did Robot Jocks and Crash and Burn and all those little movies. Yeah.
I really like Robot Jocks.
Yeah, that's a good series. That's the guy who was in Alien Nation, the TV series, but a lot younger, isn't he?
So there you go, folks. You can see that. You know, no matter, I mean, you've got certain opinions of us, but you cannot deny that we're all a bunch of sad bastards.
Yeah. You know it. Yeah.
So Dan is going to draw an original sketch for Mr. Vander. So thank you very much, Brian, for getting in touch.
Cheers, Brian.
Yeah, cheers, Bri.
So next week, please send us, we got a couple more that I could try, but as always, send us your action, Dan. Questions to awesomecomicspod@gmail.com. We need the question and the answer because I probably won't know it.
Yeah,
but Dan probably will. You know, it's 2 for 2. Well,
yeah, 2 for 2. Yeah,
yeah. So there you go. Interesting times ahead. So, but do we have any shout outs, gents?
Yeah, I've got a couple. Firstly, is Air, which is EIR. It's a new Kickstarter and all ages comic. With a female protagonist, written by Ryan K. Lindsay and drawn by Alfie Gallagher. So both guests of ours. I've got to see it, and it is absolutely brilliant. I was looking at some of the original art by Alfie about a year ago, I think. And finally, they've got the Kickstarter going now, and they've absolutely smashed it. I think in the first day, they were pretty much there.
I think Ryan K. Lindsay was saying it went faster than Dear Editor.
Yeah. It's looking really good. And they've got a real sort of interesting sales pitch around it. Have a look at the video. Ryan sort of lays out what he's doing. I think Ryan's is stuck in the situation where posting stuff from Australia is quite expensive. So this is mainly a digital-only deal. There are some physical copies.
Most of Ryan's Kickstarters are usually digital-only, which means... Mm. But he doesn't mess about with the price either. So you get an amazing value. As he spoke about when he was on this very show.
Yeah. And I think it's like a dollar a time or something.
Yeah.
There are some different levels to the stuff on Kickstarter, but this mostly and really lovely, lovely colours. Apologies, I forget the name of the colourist, but they've done an absolutely gorgeous job on it as well. I'm really pleased to see Alfie's got this coming out. I've been talking to him about it, had a coffee with him earlier in the year, and we've been talking about it for a while now, and it looks great, absolutely brilliant. Go over to it's Air, which is EIR on Kickstarter. And I've got one more, a little something to do with Vince. Vince did a caricature of myself and three people I work with, and the Mighty Bones, Jason, who's leaving my office, and he did absolutely, thanks Vince, absolutely brilliant. I gave it to him today, and he absolutely loved it. We had a little sort of leaving do. Just to sort of, we'll miss you, Bones, really. No one gets that, but I thought I'd say it anyway.
We'll miss you, Bones.
Yeah. That's a good nickname to have, Bones.
Yeah, he invented it himself, actually. Same with Ryan invented the nickname.
Can it be called a nickname, then?
Sorry?
Can it be called a nickname, or is it just like an alias?
I don't
know.
Well, I decided I wanted to be called Riptide as well, which sort of vaguely stuck. So, there you go. Yeah. One of the other blokes in our office decided he wants to be called Dragon. That's not really sticking.
Oh, fucking
no, that's not
one of those labelling machines and labelling everything with Dragon.
Dragon, that's a bit of a...
I love that. That's so awful, it's almost amazing.
Yeah.
Like I'm trying to think of a cringier name than that.
Yeah, it's cool.
Can do it.
Yeah.
Dragon.
Yeah, but that's, They're my two shout-outs. There you go, guys.
Amazing. Dan, have you got any this week?
No, apart from the comic, we've got that coming up.
Yes, yes.
Oh, yeah.
I can't think of any at the moment. I'll probably think of them as soon as we stop recording. Yeah. But right now,
is there not something from Nottingham you can shout out?
Who do we...
Well, basically everyone from Nottingham that I met, actually. I mean, you know, I said it last week, but, you know, I'm sorry. I feel bad that I didn't manage to talk to everyone that I could. But then again, you have to be at your table at the same time as well.
I'll tell you what, I've got a shout out. Just
go on.
Keep it cracking. Let me just look up the details.
Is it Poncho? Okay.
It's for a place to hang your cape. They're having a charity.
Quickly look it up. And I've got one to say now, which is I got my copy of The Last Driver through. Fuck me, that was a nice, that was a huge envelope to get through the post with a couple of prints in it. And the book is looking brilliant. And I've got a pull quote on the back, which looks really good. Thank you very much, Dead Canary Press. Chris and Shaky did an absolutely brilliant job on that book.
A lot to be said for creators and publishers that actually, as well as putting a quote from a review, any reviewer out there, they actually name the
person who wrote it.
The person that wrote it. I spoke to Chris about this briefly, and he was like, "We firmly believe in giving everyone, you know, the respect that they're due." You know,
I do love that company. They've got some good things going on. I certainly mentioned a particular artist who's a friend of ours to them, and I think they're interested in his stuff. Yeah, good guys. Good to see this book finally out. Yeah,
yeah.
But it's, the Kickstarter's only just happened, and they put it straight out, so that is good as well.
Yeah.
Okay, I got it. The Anti-Bullying Week cosplay fundraiser. Head down to Orbital Comics on November 16th to show your support for the Anti-Bullying Alliance. And A Place to Hang Your Cape has teamed up with Orbital Comics to run an exciting evening of cosplay, comics, and good conversation, and a couple of beers to raise funds for the ABA. So if you come down there, beers, people in cosplay, people taking photos, and that's on Orbital Comics, 8 Great Newport Street, London, WC2H7JA. And that's from November 16th from 4:30 till 9 o'clock.
Oh, okay.
So go check that out.
Nice. Yeah. Nice. Cool. And a fantastic, a fantastic charity as well. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, very good.
Yeah. Very good. I'll
be flogging the calendar as well, the 2017 Power for Good calendar, which Vince and myself's got working.
And I didn't realize you're in it as well, Vince, are you? Oh, okay.
Yeah. A plethora of other great artists.
Yeah. Brilliant.
Yeah. So it should be interesting. Now, another thing that's interesting, we might as well chuck it in, aren't we? When you were at New York, was it Tony you were speaking
to? Okay, do you want to do that? Yeah, cool.
Yeah,
when I was a friend of ours, certainly a friend of mine and Mark's and Vander's is Vera Greentea. I don't think that's her real name. But I did a little interview with her where we basically decided that we're best friends, I think, to be fair.
Awesome.
Anyone ever worried that we weren't? She's got some great all ages, slightly sort of horror tinge, fancy tinge books out, and she showed me the ash can of the new book she's got going. Beautiful stuff, beautiful. Yeah, so have a listen to that. Are you going to put it in here, Vince?
Yes, I am. I am going to put it in here, Tony.
Put it in here.
Listen to it. Oh, I'm putting it in here now, Tony. Are you ready? I'm about to put it in. Right, here it is.
Parts off to make me sound smarter.
Yeah.
And like speak for me. I know it's in a different voice. But
yeah. I'll give you like thumbs up and thumbs down, make faces. Yeah. We're recording now, actually. Looks kind of right.
Oh,
I'll stop it. No, let's not stop it.
No,
okay,
right.
I'm here with. It's good, isn't it? I like it. We're here with Vera Greentea. It's not your real name, is it?
No. Well, almost now.
Yeah.
That's how everybody knows me. Might as well be my real name.
Now, tell us about what you've got out at the moment and what you've got coming out. Are you ready? Okay.
I think so.
Good.
So I have two series. I have a finished mini series. The final book just finally came out, called Nanette of the Forgotten Spirits. It's just a 4-issue mini series about a ghost girl who's been forgotten by everybody, but she manages to come out of the forgotten realm and look for her family. But she's also being chased by exorcists because life isn't easy, even for the dead. And then I have a second series called Recipes for the Dead.
Yes, I've never seen that one before. Does that predate? Oh, I didn't realize that. Okay.
It's actually my very first series, so it's funny. It's about a baker whose bakery is going bankrupt. I thought a lot about money at some point. I mean, I still do. And she finds a magical cookbook, and when she makes the cookies. Actually, more customers come to her bakery, but it also draws demons and like just mishaps. Just it starts. So she's sort of in a dilemma where she's like, should I keep the customers and lose the demons?
That looks great. And who are the artists on those?
The artist. So the first artist was a girl named Ian Lee.
Right.
But then she had to go on hiatus to finish college.
Right, okay. Did you just find her in like grade school and get her to draw comics for you?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, definitely. Everybody I work with is like under the age of five. And then the second artist is Allison Strum. And she's also, yeah, she did book two and book three. And then she has a very similar coloring quality, so it kind of made it, the book still seems very coherent despite a change of artists.
Right, brilliant. Yeah. And you've got a new thing coming out, haven't you, which you've shown me the, are we going to call that an ash can? Is that what we call them these days?
I guess so. I mean, we're calling it just a display copy, okay. Or a wordless preview of the first chapter of a much bigger graphic novel that will be coming out with first, second, and probably late 2017, maybe early 2018.
Okay.
It's called Grimoire Noir. It's up my alley kind of thing.
Yeah.
It's witches, it's noir, it's mystery. It's about a boy who lives in a town where all the girls have magical powers. They all have witchcraft powers.
That's a true story, isn't it? Because that's how I feel sometimes.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It's absolutely based on a true story. And none of the boys have any powers.
Right.
So his sister gets kidnapped, and now he feels like he's investigating the town, but he feels like he has no powers, and everybody around him is much more powerful and somewhat smarter than he is.
So how did you find First Second? Have they seen your previous books? And they, or did you approach them, or how did that happen?
Oh, I stalked them.
Yeah.
Of course.
And I'm actually leaning on the chair of the artist, so she's all. So if you want to talk about.
Yeah.
How did you two get together?
Well, do you actually want to answer this question? No. She might be shyer than I am. So, well, what happened was that I am a big First Second fan. My comics library is probably First Second books. And when I was writing this book, I thought maybe they might be interested. And I ended up getting it somehow into the hands of Mark Siegel.
Okay.
And he checked it out, and he said he loved it. And it was a script back then.
Right. Okay.
And then he said, okay, since you work with so many amazing artists, and I am very lucky enough to do so, he told me I can look for my own artist. But then like a month went by, and then a second month went by, and I could feel that they were panicking a little. So they sent They started sending me portfolios of artists, but I am very picky. I really need the art to really fit the mood of the story.
Yeah.
So I kept rejecting their portfolios, and finally, okay. I found Yana, and I cold emailed her, and yeah, we kind of clicked. It was very lucky, like, because most artists are like, who is this person? But Yana like kind of just she was. Kind of trusting.
Right, okay.
Very strange.
Yeah. I mean, I've seen it, and it's absolutely gorgeous, I'd say. Really good. So, but it's a long form. It's going to be quite a long... It's not a single... You're not going to bring out single issues. It's going to be
a 250-page, tome of a book. It's full.
Have you written it all yet, or...?
Yeah, I've written it, like, 2 years ago.
Really? Okay. Well,
yeah. So...
Well, that's great. Now... At this point, I feel like you and I are probably, I'm going to say best friends. Do you think?
With you?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely the best friends.
And I was just wondering, a lot of your books sort of have a dreamlike quality, don't they, to them? What's the worst dream you've ever had?
The worst dream? Actually, I was just telling her a dream I had this morning. I had a dream that I went to babysit a six-year-old girl who turned out to be like super creepy, and I think she killed her parents because they weren't there.
That's a worrying dream.
It is.
You seem quite a nice person. I'm worried you're having these
dreams.
Did you watch a bad film last night? Or
no.
Oh, okay.
And then this is just my mind.
Yeah.
She made
Were you talking to Mark Lamming yesterday at all or anything?
To who?
Mark Lamming.
Oh, not last night. But I did talk to him 2 days ago. Oh, definitely. He inspires some weirdness.
Good. So absolutely gorgeous. And well done on the Kickstarter as well. You smashed it, didn't you?
Yeah, thank you so much. And that just ended about like a month ago. So yeah, that's why the fourth book, Nunette of Forgotten Spirits, is out.
And it's great to see the way you've treated Kickstarter, because you've published and they've come straight out, which is just the best way to do it, isn't it?
Thank you so much. Yeah, I try not to make people wait for too long.
Yeah, it's, I think, hard. You're right. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Thanks, Vera. Cheers, darling.
Thank you so much for having me on your show.
As always, Tony, that was marvellous. Your recording blows my mind.
I said I'll do loads of interviews in New York, and I just me and Vera ended up doing one. Yeah, that was it. The only one I did.
That was it.
Yeah, that's all you need. That's all you need.
That is all you need is love.
Yeah.
And speaking about love, what recommendations have we got this week? Who should we start with? Tony, lead us out. Let's short, sharp, and to the point. Oh, go on. Give it to me. Ooh.
Yeah, mine is Porcelain Ivory Tower, the third Porcelain book. Chris was kind enough to give me. They do like a sort of free teaser copy. They've done this for all three of the Porcelain books now, and he also had a print on his table for the new book. And oh Jesus, this is the best so far, and that's saying something, because the first two were great, and the second one just blew my mind. Did you get a copy, Vince, at the weekend?
I didn't get a chance. I'm sure a lot of people did at Thought Bubble.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
They had the previews there, I believe, didn't they?
Yeah, they did. And go, just open it and go to page two, and is probably one of the images that's most blown me away this year, which is composition and beautiful colour and shape and originality of the sort of castle the main character lives in. Absolutely incredible.
This book should
be on everyone's bookshelves. Benjamin Reed is the writer, Chris Wild Goose is the artist. Colors by, you know, big shout out to colors by Andre May, Flatting Alexa Rosa, letterer Jim Campbell, managing editor Matt Gibbs. Just honestly, probably the best comic book I've opened and looked at and thought, this is the best art I've seen in absolutely donkey's years.
And the thing about Porcelain, I think that trilogy of books is certainly going to be, when you look back on it, that's something truly special.
Yeah, it's fantastic. Yeah.
Because the story is just beautiful. It's heartbreaking. It's moving. It's just everything.
So well written as well. Yeah.
And anyone that's read the first and the second one, just rips your heart right out.
Oh God! Yeah.
It's brutal.
Yeah. But beautiful.
Brilliant. Yeah. Absolutely brilliant.
And what will happen is Chris's Batgirl work will just absolutely blow everyone away, and they'll want this book.
Yeah.
And for every sort of little ash can that he's given away, I've kept them. I've got a signed copy, and I've kept it. And I thought, this is definitely something people are going to look back on and say, this is where Chris and Ben's an amazing writer.
Yeah.
This is where they both started, and it's just beautiful, just incredible. The quality is so good. Yeah, I can't speak highly enough. Yeah.
We love Chris, but at the same time,
we hate him.
We hate him, and also he gave his good lady wife Laura a cold. So
he did, yeah.
You are a selfish pig, Wild Goose. But
I'll tell you what, that Sarah Dunkerton, she can drink. Yeah, she outdrunk me. She's drinking cider. I was trying to keep up.
Yeah.
I had a sort of fruity selection of ciders that me and the Gibbs
is that is that what is that what effect. You call a baby sham? Is that
yes, very similar. We were drinking sort of strawberry cider just because we thought we were well cool, can keep up with her. Yeah, they're a great bunch of people, though, the Improper Books people. I weirdly bumped into Matt yesterday, just out of the blue, bumped into him in the street. But great bunch of creators, and really got their head switched on, and absolutely lovely people as well. You know, really good.
Wonderful. Dan, what would you like
to... It's a bit gushy, wouldn't it? It's worth it.
We love a gush. Dan.
This is a free comic that's been put out the past couple of days, I think. It's got so many creators on it. I could spend a long time talking about them all. So I think we'll just link to it in the show notes.
Yeah.
Because there is like literally about three or four dozen of them. It's Cops versus Shark Wolves.
Yeah, brilliant.
And it's got the best tagline I've read this year of any film, comic, whatever. It's, they've got claws, they've got jaws, and they've got no respect for laws.
oh my god, I want this to be a movie so bad.
Yeah, it's. I can kind of make in a lazy comparison. It's very, the humor is kind of similar in a way to Man Bites Rock.
Man versus Rock.
Sorry.
Yeah.
And it's just great. Oh, like nice. I pointed out before we came on, there's one character who's obviously speaking. It's like a kind of a police squad, and they're all kind of filled with different character archetypes. And there's one who's speaking like in Cantonese, and you've got kind of the symbols coming up.
Yeah.
And one of them's laughing, going, "Oh, good one, Frenchie." It's really well done. Yeah, it's fantastic. Tongue in cheek, doesn't take itself seriously.
Yeah. It's perfect, isn't it? It's pitch perfect.
Yeah, it's perfect. It's absolutely the right length. Yeah. Does the job.
There's so many different creators on every page. I think the basis of it stems from, I think it's the trio of Ian Laurie, Sam Reed, and Colin Bell, I think, put it together.
Okay. Yeah.
But then they just got a whole bunch of creators who loved the idea just to jump on and contribute. And it's...
I think they've kept like a very, not muted color palette, but very kind of limited color palette, and that really helps unify the comic, so when you jump from one artist to the next, it's not jarring at all. Usually with these kind of deals, when they're jumping between artists, there's a big kind of, oh okay, now this person's doing it, but this flows all the way through. It's really well done.
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
Yeah,
nice.
Cool.
One
look at that.
So it's
free.
Absolutely free, and it's well worth it just for that tagline alone.
Yeah.
My recommendation this week is a book by Gabriel Hardman, and
brilliant!
It's a book that Mr. Tony Esmond picked up for me at New York Comic Con, so it's a New York import. But when I saw Gabriel Hardman was going to put out a one-shot horror story, I was like, right, I'm in. Gabriel Hardman artwork, amazing. Horror, yes, I'm in. And it's his book, The Belfry, which is self-contained. Sort of one-shot story. It's really dark. It's beautiful. Have you read this yet, Tony?
I haven't yet. No, it's in the pile.
For those who don't know Gabriel Hardman, his work on like Kinski and Invisible Republic, is that the ones?
Yeah, that's his current Image book. Yeah. But go to all the Red Hulk stuff, the Secret Avengers,
Planet of the Apes.
Oh, Planet of the Apes. Oh yeah. Dear. You boys know I'm a huge fan of his. I'll try and get three or four commissions off him.
And he's also a movie. He works in like storyboards and stuff, and he's a massive movie guy. So you know, I love the fact that he just decided to do this one shot sort of horror story. It was something that was born from a sort of pinup that was in the back on the last page. He did that this sort of just he drew like this scene, and I think it got him thinking so much that he developed a story around that pinup. So it's all based around this plane that crashes in the middle of this strange island, and there's these strange winged creatures. They're vampire like but there's something more to it, and it's like a sort of Twilight Zone sort of episode, really, in a sense. It's got that kind of feel to it. Really, but there's darkness, foreboding, you know, it's grim but beautifully told. It's got a nice sort of cyclical nature to it as well that I didn't expect. And Gabriel Hardman's artwork in it is, you know, he by doing this as well, it was a chance for him to try some different techniques and do things that he wasn't doing in the books he did at the time. So it's purely an artist just having fun. And it's fantastic. And thank you very much, Tony, for picking this up.
That's what I mean, he's definitely one of those artists that people go to, you know, he'll give you a lesson in, you know.
Yeah.
Definitely one of those kind of guys, isn't he?
Yeah. And there's a wonderful, because it's horror as well, it's, as we spoke about last week, a lot of it's about sound effects and the way he puts sound effects throughout the whole book. You know, sound effects are a massive part of what makes this book what it is.
Okay.
So if you see it, I don't know how readily available it's going to be, whether it's digital or anything like that, but just look for Gabriel Hardman and The Belfry. See what you can see online, because it's very worth checking out.
Right.
So, there you go. A nice grim story to end it on. It's been another fantastic episode. Thank you again for all your interaction, folks. It was lovely. Thank you for joining me, Dan and Tony. It's been wonderful.
Oh, thank you.
I've learned a lot about interaction. That I probably never want to do it with you two ever again. No, of course not.
That's a lie.
Yeah. And cons.
Yeah.
No,
do it.
It's been fun. It's been emotional. But there's been an awful lot of toilet stories. A lot more. Yeah. Probably about 90% more toilet stories than you usually get in an awesome podcast episode.
That's what makes it.
Just upped it a little.
Yeah.
And also automated telling machine stories.
Beautiful. Yeah. Yes. Yes. Yeah. So many
stories. Can't wait to hear more of them.
So many stories. What did you what did you think of our stories? There's several different ways that you can talk to us about it. You can email us, awesomecomicspod@gmail.com. Likewise, if there's any events or any feedback on the show, tony.awesomecomicspod@gmail.com. We've had a few books sent into these emails recently. Got some great.
And we will catch up with them, I promise. I've had a particularly busy couple of weeks, but we are trying to catch up.
And there's some great stuff coming in, I must say. Follow us on Twitter @TheAwesomePod. Like us on Facebook, facebook.com/awesomecomicspodcast, and where we'll announce what's going on this week, what we've been talking about. Yep. Who knows what Dan and Tony are going to post on whenever they feel like it. And thank you for listening, whether it was on the website, awesomecomics.podbean.com. If you lift us on iTunes, leave us a review. Those things mean a lot, apparently. And we just want your attention, don't we?
Yeah, we can do about. With a couple more reviews.
Go on, give us a review. Yeah. A nice one, good please. One. If you're not going to give us a nice review, then...
Don't fucking bother.
Yeah. There you go. We tell it like it is on this show. So, thank you for listening to us, whether it's on the Stitcher or Podnose Network. We love every single one of you, wherever you've come from, basically. And thanks for sticking with us. Where can people find us online, etc., Tony?
Yeah, Ezohyz. If you go to Down the Tubes, you'll see there's an article just gone up, which John took from my blog about Nottingham. There's a lot of images and, you know, little sort of humorous anecdotes about what happened. And that came from the blog that I do, which is neveironanything.blogspot.com.
Yeah.
Which, if you go over there, if you go far enough back, you can see some of my webcomics, actually. So there you go. I've never pimped that before, but I thought I might mention it.
Yeah.
Well, you've brought it back to life, so you should.
I have, actually, yeah. I haven't really used it much for a long time, but it just became an easy way to sort of blog about conventions. And John kind of liked the sort of sarcastic tone of it and started using them on the site, which I'm always overjoyed that he does. So there you go.
Lovely. Dan, where can they find you?
You can find me on Twitter @VanguardComic, and you can read Vanguard @VanguardComic.com. And the last page of issue 12 goes up this Friday, and that's me for the rest of the year.
Yay! Yeah. Stick a fork in him, he's done.
I'm looking forward to taking my foot off the pedal a little bit.
Yeah, you never will, Dan. You're a glutton for punishment. Yeah.
No, I do have like two other projects. We're already lined up for the rest of the year.
I just found a picture of you in a Daniel Klaus comic, and I'm going to send it to you now.
Go for it.
Okay.
Sexy times.
I just quickly jumped on Facebook. I sent you this picture, but we talked about it a couple of weeks ago, the old fucking J. Scott Campbell and his rendition of. He's done like a kind of rethink. He's done.
That's quite funny. A rethink. I love that.
A rethink. And he's redrawn it, and what he's drawn is like a million times better.
It's really good.
The cover he came up. Yeah. It's really good.
Really good.
I've got to take his hat off. That's my hat off to him. That's the kind of person who kind of knows how to try and win around the audience rather than just kind of brush it off and think, oh, fuck you all.
Yeah.
He's handled it really well, I think. Yeah. You know? I mean,
like, and you know, it's a better bloody drawing than the last one.
It's a lot better. Yeah.
Yeah.
It says a lot about the character. Do you know what I mean? It's a character piece, isn't it?
Yeah.
It definitely looks cooler. Yeah. So, yeah.
And I've just sent you that picture of Dan.
God,
there is a similarity, I guess.
Oh my word! That's got to be your next profile pic.
We'll have to post that. Oh, people don't know what we're talking about. We'll put it on the Facebook page.
I'll post it on Monday.
There you go. Follow me on Twitter @JesterDiablo, and you can find out more about my comic at TheRedMaskFromMars.com. It's been a good one. It's been a beautiful one.
Yeah, definitely.
You know. We've broken every taboo.
Each other. Yeah.
Every taboo. Yeah. Yeah.
Weekly.
Yeah. Yeah. I've completely forgotten what we're doing next week, so you'll just have to wait. You have to look
at
it.
Oh, we do know. We know. Isn't it a fellow, aren't we? I can't say because I don't know if I'm right. I'm going to type it.
Well, we're going to do this off air, and just stay tuned to the Twitter and Facebook, and we'll let you know. but it's not that, Tony.
Isn't it? Oh, okay. Is it this?
Hey?
Is it this one?
Yes. Yes, it is. It is. Tony just typed the word poo.
So it's a pretty poo-centric episode.
Yeah. I think it's time for us to say goodbye, isn't it? Thank you for listening, folks. From Dan, Tony, and myself. Have an amazing week. Stay awesome. And you didn't do a pelvic thrust noise, Tony. So do you want to sign off with a pelvic thrust?
I can't do those noises. I'm not Dopes. He's brilliant.
Well, me and Dan did it as well. It was a chorus. Yeah. Go on.
Well, I wasn't really down with it, but I did it.
You did it. It was
forcing us now. I feel like a victim of yours.
I'm trying to force Tony into a pelvic thrust. It's not working. It's not working. So we'll just sort of say, have a brilliant week. And as always, stay awesome. See you later.
Thank you.
How hard is that?
Yeah.